We're going to talk about running your race this morning. Y'all energetic and excited, enthusiastic, ready to go? Come on, let me hear you. Yes. Yes. Do it. Okay, all right. Do it. Get it done. Get it over with. It's hot. 2 days ago, 74-year-old Muhammad Ali passed away after about 30-some years of Parkinson's disease. Regardless of the controversy, and if you read his history and you recall, some of you, I know, some of you want to look at me and say, I wasn't born then, Kevin. There was a lot of controversy, but he did spend the last decades of his life overall being a goodwill ambassador. And without question, regardless of the controversies, he was, without question, as three-time heavyweight champion, one of the world's most pronounced, one of the world's very best boxers ever in the history of the game. He made his amateur boxing debut in 1954. He won 6 Kentucky Golden Glove titles, 2 National Golden Glove titles, an Amateur Athletic Union National title, the light heavyweight gold medal in the 1960 Summer Olympics in Rome. His amateur record was 100 wins with only 5 losses. As a professional, his record was 61 fights with 56 wins, 37 wins by knockout, 5 losses, 0 draws. Did I come to church here about Muhammad Ali this morning? No, it's just we're getting started. His last fight was in December of 1981. Again, suffered from Parkinson's disease, probably brought on and exacerbated by the serious blows to the head. What is it that draws someone to the ring? A glutton for punishment? That would be my case. So I you don't find me in the ring. To the gridiron. What draws you to the gridiron? What draws you to the links? What about to the stables? What causes somebody to want to compete? Is it just the thrill of winning? In some of our cases, it was the agony of defeat. Is it just the joy of the sport, fame, fortune for some? But what takes you there? Hard work, decisions, choices, keeping the goal in mind, sacrifices, the lifestyle that you live, all contributes to one goal. Watch this. Here's a quote. There is no elevator to success. You have to take the stairs. One step at a time. One choice at a time. One decision at a time. How many wish there was an elevator? There are trainers. There are coaches. Talk for a few minutes to John Sandquist. He knows all about this. Manager of sports people, professionals. There's a whole industry that support people who have a goal and a desire, and they've worked toward that goal and desire. And then they gather people around them that are dedicated to helping them reach that goal and desires. And you know what? Long time ago, it was the same. In ancient games. Now, in ancient games, there were 4 species of games in Greece, the Python or Delphic. How many remember the Delphic Oracle? We've talked about the Delphi Oracle. There was the Isthmian games, or Corinthians, by the Corinthians. There was the Nemean, and then there was the Olympic Games. And people came from all around the known world, and from Greece especially, and there were horse races, there were foot races, there was boxing, there was leaping, there was running, and the Olympic Games were celebrated in a town called Olympia, or a town of Elis, rather, and they were on many accounts the most celebrated of any that took place in Greece. Now, in Grecian chronology, you remember that every 4 years is called a what? You remember? An Olympiad. Remember? An Olympiad every 4 years. These were the games. By the way, because of these, there was typically games celebrated every year. Now, the Apostle Paul is a master teacher, a master evangelist, who knows exactly how to reach, by the grace of God, the audience to whom he's speaking to. Paul was in Corinth, grieved about the lifestyle, the lecherousness, and you know what it's meant when it said to Corinthianize. You have a bunch of sailors coming to the seaport village, and the debauchery was incredible, and the lifestyle was loose, and all of a sudden these people get saved. And how many know when you get saved, your lifestyle doesn't always change immediately? In fact, I know he's still changing me. How about you? Turn to each other and say, thank God he's still changing Pastor Kev. But he knows exactly how to reach the Corinthians. Watch what the scripture says. Do you not know, chapter 9, 24 through 27 out of the New King James, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is temperate in all things. Now they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection, lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. Now the prize for those games then was an olive wreath at the Olympic Games, an apple wreath at the Delphi Games. There was a pine wreath at the Isthmian Games and some parsley given to the winner at Nemean Games. How many of you are glad you live in the 21st century? If you're in sports, you're really glad. That's it? Actually, it was a ticket into a tremendous lifestyle for many of them, because the guys would compete and the reward would be they'd marry, some of them would marry rich ladies or rich lady, and then they would have a lifestyle different than what they had come to know. But it was an entire life approach to the games. It was conferred to the champion on the last day of the game, and with great pomp and circumstance, congratulation and rejoicing. But there was a lot of training that took place. The Olympic training, there was in Greece, there was a gymnasium, where the word comes from the Greek culture, a gymnasium typically in every Greek city. And every candidate had to take an oath that you would spend 10 months in training, violate no regulation, lived in a strict, self-sacrificing diet, refrained from wine and pleasant foods. They would endure cold, they would endure hot, heat, and the most laborious discipline, all to win the prize. They would have coaches, and those coaches would help them come up with a specific diet. And they would have specific trainers that would give them specific exercises. And those coaches had the freedom to sometimes follow those people home. And if they were engaged in activities, they would put a stop to what they're doing, because that's not your goal. That's not what you say you want to do. This is the diet you'll follow. This is the lifestyle you'll follow. Welcome to the world of preachers. This is what we do. All to win the prize. They surrounded themselves with coaches and people that could help them do it. It was interesting to read the articles about, and of course we know that you ask the question, why was it so important to the Greeks to do this? And some people just answer, because they could run around naked. And they were running in the naked, and they would be oiled down. And sometimes what they would do is they would cover their body then with sand that would adhere to the oil, and that would protect them from the sunburn and keep some measure of warmth to them in the colder climates. And they would scrape that off at the end of their workouts, and then they would take their showers and go on. But every day the routine was intense. And there is so much application to us today. Are you all awake? Yeah. So much application. That's why we're a family. That's why we're a team. That's why we're a family of God. To help encourage each other. Keep going. Keep going. Is your goal like mine to be just like Jesus? We're not done until we're conformed to His image. my mind becoming more transformed into the mind of Christ and my attitudes like Him and the ways we walk every day, man, sometimes we get temptation. Anybody in this room ever tempted? Come on, anybody. Let me see the show of hands. Ever tempted? What's wrong with you guys? No, anyway. But we are tempted. And guess what? We need each other. Somebody from the side say, you can do it. No. You don't have to go that way. You're going to be strong. The Lord's with you. He's helping you. You can be encouraged. Don't be discouraged. We're going to make it. We're going to be what God wants us to be. Someone say, praise God.
Praise God.
Training. We're in a life of training. But how does it apply to us? Paul exhorts the believers to give up our own rights. Think of others first. Be wholehearted in our focus to bringing others to Jesus. The Apostle Paul calls on Christians to deny ourselves as we look forward to future reward. Reward in this life, but there's a reward to come. We're going to see Jesus face to face. And when we are dying, when we have died, we are not hopeless. We know we're going to see Jesus. We go to heaven when we die. What a great reward will be in His presence someday.
Yes, amen.
Thank God now for His mercy, His forgiveness, His grace, His miracle power. We're saved for a reason. How many know you've been saved for a reason? You know, you are absolutely unique. There's nobody else looks just like you. Just like we were raving about the flowers from the garden this morning. But everybody in this room is different and unique. Thank God. You each are beautiful. I should have at least seen a few people smile. Me? I'm beautiful. You are. You're beautiful before the Lord, and you're unique. Absolutely unique. Jesus put His Holy Spirit in you and in me. He spent your whole life investing in you, filling you with gifts, with His grace. He knows exactly who you are to bring you to the kingdom for such a time as this. Because your family needs you to be a man or woman of God. Because your neighbors on your block need you to see the kingdom of God through you. Because there's people left to reach and people who don't know Him yet. People may scoff, but they're looking and they're not scoffing at your life. You confuse them, and that's a good thing. Sometimes we confuse people by how we live. How come when that bad thing happened, you didn't fall apart? How come when everybody's all agitated about politics, you say, my Lord isn't a politician. Thank God. I should hear a bunch of amens. Because Jesus is in charge. But Jesus, listen. Every time you and I have contact with someone, they are touched by the Holy Spirit that flows through your life. Every contact. You see, we still spend a lot of time thinking about, Lord, what about me? And Jesus says, what about the person I want to reach through you? Run your race. There's someone else to reach. But Paul compared this to a race. He pictured the ancient games, and the Olympics were already operating, as you know, in Paul's time. Second in popularity to the Olympic Games were the Corinthian Games. And Paul told the believers to be like those athletes. He did not mean that the believers were all running and competing with each other to win the prize. But instead, he said, I want you each to run for the prize. Give it all you got. There's a prize out there. Run for it. There's not just one. There's a prize for each of us as we run after the Lord Jesus. And you will win by the grace of God as you continue to run with Him. Every believer, Paul is basically saying, should put out the effort of grace and response to the Lord to win the prize. Now, by grace, thank God, salvation is already won. Okay, you're not going to add one thing to salvation. We're not talking salvation by works here. It's by grace through faith in Jesus, through His cleansing blood. But as we cooperate with God, we have something to do to keep growing, changing, keep reaching other people. Can you say amen? Watch it out of the Message version. It says, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. Let's see. Let me read a couple verses before I get there. You've all been to the stadium, verse 24 and 25, I forgot to put on there. You've all been to the stadium and seen the athletes race, it says in the message. Everyone runs, one wins. Run to win. Verse 25, all good athletes train hard. They do it for a gold medal that tarnishes and fades. You're after one that's gold eternally. And then it goes on to say, I don't know about you, but I'm running hard for the finish line. I'm giving it everything I've got. No sloppy living for me. I'm staying alert and in top condition. I'm not going to get caught napping. Say that verse with me. How many know where I am? I'm not going to get... What was that? I'm sorry. I'm not going to get caught napping. No, sir. Not me. Telling everyone else. I'm up here. I'm preaching. I can't go to sleep. So, anyway. If I go to sleep, we're in real trouble, right? Okay, I'm not going to get caught napping. Telling everyone else all about it. And watch. The Apostle Paul saying this. Telling everybody else about this and then missing out myself. Paul says, I'm not going to run aimlessly, and I'm not going to be like a boxer who just shadow boxes and misses punching. You read about the fight between George Foreman and Muhammad Ali. Ali taunted him and taunted him. People thought Ali was going to get just laid low. And Foreman had one of the most powerful punches and reaches, three inch longer reach than Ali did. But Ali taunted him and kept running away from him, basically, in the fight. So Foreman wasted tons of energy and strength by throwing punches that missed. Have you ever swung at a golf ball and missed? Come on, honest people in here, honest people. Not me, I'm a pro. No, yeah, I've done that. You sit there, man, you wind up, you go for it. Wow, where'd it go? Nowhere, still sitting right there. Or you swing at a baseball and you miss. You throw that hoop and Sherry, nothing but net. Kevin, did you hit the backboard? But sometimes the effort we put in is wasted. Paul was saying, when I come to the end of my life, I don't want to look back and see zero fruit. Just like somebody throwing punches that missed the target. God, help my life be fruitful. I don't want to tell everybody else and then miss it myself. Instead, he keeps his eyes focused, his heart focused, running straight for the goal with purpose in every step. Doesn't allow himself to get sidetracked and waste time. He keeps on disciplining his body. Paul pictures life like a battle. And if we become lazy, we back away, we turn aside. I say, I'm done, I'm going to coast. Satan seeks to eliminate us from the race. I said, Satan seeks to eliminate us from the race. Oh, I'm not going to do this anymore. I just don't want to do this. And there's sorrow and there's pain and temptation buffets and Christians, we need to stay in shape.
That's right.
We need to stay in the battle. We need to stay in the race. Watch this. Unless the soul keep the body under, the body will get above the soul. The body may be a good servant, but it's a bad master. Isn't that the truth? How many of you know, this is kind of an aside here, a real simple little point here to make. How many of you know just the happy message is not a good nutritious diet in Christian walking? A popsicle may be great on a hot day, but you're not going to be able to live from it. Three people said amen. Thank you. But what are we seeing in the Lord? What are we seeing? Run to receive your prize. Run to receive your prize. Jesus has called you each with a purpose. You may say to me, Kevin, I'm not a preacher. That's not the point. That's not what I'm saying. But you're a runner. The other analogy, you're a spiritual boxer. You're in the ring until Jesus calls you home face to face. You're in the race till it's all done. Jesus gave you the baton. Now, that baton might look something like this. No, I'm not going to hit anybody. But the baton is held out so the runner right in front of you can grab it and run the relay race. It's powerful. Jesus went to his Father and he said, wait in Jerusalem until I endue you with power from on high. And 120 people sat in an upper room. And then there came a time when the Spirit of God was poured out. And basically God said, here's the baton. It's time to run your race. Get out of the upper room and take the gospel out these doors. How about you? How about me? What do we do? We're going to stay in focus. Now, I want to show you some pictures here. My buddy Vern sent me some pictures of Vern's and Pat's grandson. And I want to tell you that Vern sent me crystal clear pictures. And Kevin wasn't able to get him to stay crystal clear. This is not Vern's fault. This is Kevin's fault. But that grandson, man, he's waiting to catch the baton. You can all see that, right? You see the baton? And then what does he do? He keeps focus. And it looks like this. Man, look at that kid. Not only are his arm muscles ripped and his legs are ready to go, he's got the baton. He's saying, I'm off! And that's how it is in our walk with the Lord. Focus. Don't get distracted. Here's what you don't see. You don't see him turn to the sideways looking around at the crowd. You don't see him checking out the chicks. You see him running his race. Not checking out what might be tempting, what might look nice. I smell hot dogs in the air. I think I'm going to run right over there. He's got his race going. And he knows what he's doing and where he's going. He's got focus. And then he's got determination. What do we need? We need determination. I want to tell you something. The devil wants to neutralize you. You can't do this. You're no good. Who can you help? Come on, there's nobody left. You're too old to help anybody. Someone say, fooey on youy, devil. Yes, you will help someone. You've got somebody you can help. God's called you to the kingdom for such a time as this. Jesus has you. We're praying for you. We're cheering. There were people in the stands cheering him on. His grandparents are over there going, we don't see anybody else in the whole state of Washington right now. Just you running. You're the greatest runner in the world. And that's kind of like what the Holy Spirit is saying when you're running your race. Doesn't matter what anybody else is doing right now. Jesus says, I'm cheering for you. Go for it. Give it everything you've got. Remember, you're part of a team. Look at that. The race is all that matters. You're not alone. You're part of a team that's running. Destiny. Goal. Finish line. You're not alone in this race. We're cheering you on. Watch what the Scripture says in Hebrews 12, 1 through 3. Therefore, we also, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, people cheering for you, let us lay aside every weight, the sin that so easily ensnares us. Get a grip of, you've got Jesus in the stand, and there's Stephen. And there's Paul, and there's Peter, and they're saying, go, Pat, go! You can do, go, Vern, you can do this. Oh, man, you're doing great on that race, Elaine. Keep going. Cease can hardly keep up with you. You got people in the stands cheering for you from your church and from the family of God looking around saying, you can do this. Be everything Jesus has called you to be. Go out today, live like Jesus and bring the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven. People all around your neighborhood, I'm not telling you to walk up and knock on their door, beat it down and say, Jesus is here. That's not what I'm saying. But when you walk in the door, the kingdom of God just walked in their door, and the presence of Jesus Christ just walked in their door. And they should leave. Or when you leave, there should be something that goes, you know, something a little different about them. Now, I know they'd say that about me. But in a good way. Something a little different there. So, witnesses cheering for us. So because we're in the race, because we're keeping on, lay aside the stuff that frustrates us. Lay aside the junk, the sin, the temptation that snares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus, the author and the what?
Finisher.
Come on, the author and the
finisher
of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross. Can I ask you a question? Who was the joy set before him? Look around. He was looking through the corridor of time and he said, I see my people. And I love them. And Father, I'll say yes, because I see these people are going to be part of our family. Wow. Despising the shame, of course. And he sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. For consider him who endured such hostility from sinners against himself, lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls. Church, I want to tell you that you matter. You matter to God. You matter to us. You matter. You're on the team. And every person runs their lap called life. You have a baton in your hand. Give it all you've got. Because you will finish with joy this race he's given you. If you do away with the distractions and say, okay, we're going to keep going. Sometimes people think, I'm not contributing much. I've not added much. They're fine without me. Forget it. You matter. Don't let the devil deceive you. You got an important role. Sometimes we need to stop and say, okay, Lord, what can I do? And watch. The Lord will do so much. The devil wants to neutralize you. I've said that several times this morning. He wants to neutralize you, put you in neutral. So you think you got nothing. The gear isn't powerful. The motor might race, but you're not getting anywhere when you're in neutral. Have you ever felt like, have you ever made that mistake? You start up the car and then you think you put it in gear and you go, and it explodes with power and you feel like you're going to destroy the engine because you forgot to put it in gear. And then you better slow the engine down before you do or you really will ruin the engine. Let me ask you a question. What are you thinking while you're waiting for the baton? If it takes a little bit longer for Jesus to use you or the other runner to get there than you expected, do you sit down? Did their grandson go put on his warm-ups? Say, he'll be here next week. Oh, well, I guess I missed it. Maybe I got the wrong race, wrong heat. No, you stay in shape. You stay ready. You stay in the race. If you recall, John the Baptist got himself ready all his life for a very short-lived ministry. Jesus got himself ready all his life and was a man of character, a man of God, all his life for a 3.5-year ministry. But he served and readied and did what God called him to do. You matter. Keep running. Keep running. I want you to turn to each other and really sincerely, jived around all morning, but I want you to look at each other. I want you to say, you matter. Paul's concerns are ours. Paul's concerns are ours. What was his concern? To be found true. To be found true. Paul's concerns are the same ones we have. Lord, I want to be found true. What does he say? In the King James, it says, lest I myself should be a castaway. And that literally means be disqualified. Now, that word, by the way, it's interesting. When you look into the meaning of the word, it relates to bad metals. And the whole thing denotes that which would not bear the test when the fire is applied. So if we keep in our race, we keep practiced, we keep walking with the Lord by grace, fiery trials will come in our lives. Peter says, don't think that a strange thing. And the Lord just allows the metal to be refined, to be pure, to be strong, and to be true. Paul faced trials, shipwreck, and left for dead, nakedness, hunger. And all the while, he's even checking himself. Is my faith true as it should be? Will my faith hold when I go through the trying times? And it did. He was afraid. Paul was concerned. He'd be disproved, rejected, cast off. That it would appear after all that at the end he got other people involved in something he couldn't qualify for himself. Man, oh man. Paul was concerned. So he uses this incredible sports analogy. So am I going to be true? I want to be found true. Number two, I want to keep my body under, but I discipline my body and bring it into subjection. That literally, get this, that literally means in the Greek to bruise the face under the eyes. He was still the athlete in training, getting punched in the eyes. And he's basically saying, I'm punching myself. I'm making the self black and blue so my spirit has control of my life as I surrender to the Lord. Isn't that vivid? To make it, to basically give the soul and the flesh a black eye so I run after the Lord. Bring it into subjection and surrender to God. So number two, keep my body under. Number three, to lest I find myself not winning the race. I want to be true. I want to keep my body in subjection. I want to let my spirit and soul, my spirit lead the way, lest I find myself not winning the race. Lest when I have preached to others, I myself should become disqualified. The word preached in the Greek literally means heralded. We're back at the games. The herald at the game summoned the candidates to the foot race. The herald at the games placed the wreath of crowns, or the wreath that they won, on the brow of the conqueror. And the herald announced the name. So he's calling people to the race. He's putting the crown on them. He's calling out their names. And he's saying, I could do that and still be a castaway if I'm not careful. I can get attention for the Lord. But if I'm not taking heed to my own soul, I might not make it. Now, I don't believe Paul meant in salvation. But what about rewards? Have you ever heard of having rewards for heaven? Walking with him in such a way that he puts, you know, the old phrase used to be putting jewels in your crown. How many want to do everything God's given you to do with all your might? Come on, let's see the show of hands. I know it's warm in here. We'll be done in a few minutes. But a castaway. A castaway meant to fail shamefully of the prize myself after I've called others to the contest. Says, I still want to watch over me. I still want to run my race right through to the finish line. Man, I said when Vern and Pat showed me the pictures of their grandson, I said, oh, will you send that to me? Now I'm sure he wishes he hadn't. But man, watching that kid around the corner and those muscles going, and I thought, oh, I look like that. Then I realized, no, I never did. But he was focused, determined to run his race. Remember last week, I preached about be strong, being soldiers in the Lord's army. Today we're runners in his race. All analogies on trying to be everything God's called us to be. I'm going to give you one little less story as I finished today. How many ever heard the name Laramie Tunzel? John, you might have. Laramie Tunzel. When it came up time to the NFL draft, he was one of the greatest quarterbacks, or not quarterbacks, one of the greatest football players in college history. This is just either this year or last year. I think it was this year. Just before the draft. Now, this kid was probably going to get about a $12 million signing and another $8 million signing bonus. He was probably destined to be number one in the draft. The night before the draft, someone put out on his Twitter account a picture of him taking a toke from a bong so he could have a 15-second moment of pleasure, and that man went all the way down in the draft, 12 or 13 positions, and lost out on about $20 million. Now, he was still picked up. Maybe he lost out on $13 million, but he was still picked up. But how many think he might regret that decision? When all he needed to do was keep his focus, keep his determination, keep running his race, keep playing his game, and the payday would come. Thank God that when we do stupid stuff, now I'm going to ask you one more time. Anybody in this room ever done stupid stuff? Come on. I don't feel so bad, see, when I ask it that way, because I, you know, all my digits go up. Done stupid stuff. But I hope that, like me, you can look at me and say, I just thank God for amazing grace. I just thank God that Jesus still is here and loves me and keeps me going. And if you sin, you have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ the righteous, who forgives you, washes you clean, gets you back up, puts the baton back in your hand and say, okay, go! Man, you're on your way. Run that race. Run. But I fell! You can sit over the side and you can whine. My kids were little, and when they'd fall, I discovered something very quickly. How many know, moms, when you make a big deal, oh, you poor little baby, how many know outcome the wailing of drama? So I would finally walk up, seeing this unfold. I walk up and say, hey, kid, you want to go to the hospital? You all right? No, I wasn't real compassionate, but the tears would dry up. And I'm fine. We can make a big, big, big deal. But when we fall, Jesus says, come on. I'm here. I already went to the cross for you. Come on. Let's get up. Yes. Come on. Come on. I got a baton for you. Get back out and run your race. Come on. I'm cheering for you. Oh, yeah, yeah. Hey, Moses. Come on. Cheer for this guy. He's a little cheering. And he starts yelling out, Leviticus. And Jesus says, no, shut up. It's New Testament now. No, it's good. It's okay. Leviticus has its role. We'll see Jesus out of Leviticus. That's all right. But get up. Get up. Run. Go. Church, Jesus is so good. And He's got such a destiny and such a plan. And He's got amazing grace. So let's all run our race. Just stand with me, please. If you're here this morning and the Lord has spoken to your heart, if you've not surrendered your life to Jesus, this is your day. He loves you so much. It's time to give Him your life. There'll be a team of people right up here, honored to pray for you. If you're here and you need physical healing in your body, there'll be a team right over here in these chairs to pray for you as well. But above all, remember, He's got great news for you. How many are in the race this morning? Lord, we thank You that this day we get to run our race. We thank You that by the grace of God, we have the privilege of being Your people. Thank You, Lord, that You've put the baton in our hands, that we're called by Your Spirit to do what You've called us to do. We're not here to turn aside. We're not here to lose our direction. We're not here to get distracted. We're here to keep our focus and to keep running after You. Lord, as we go out of this place today, we commit ourselves to continuing to run and reach out to people all around us with the love and presence of Jesus. Now bless each one who's gathered in this room today to come grow, to come be what You want us to be. We thank You for the privilege in Jesus' name. And they all said,
amen.
Would you raise your hands for the blessing, please? The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make His face shine upon you and be gracious to you. And yet again, another scripture, may the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in Him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. And one more, the amazing grace of the Master, Jesus Christ, the extravagant love of God, the intimate friendship of the Holy Spirit be with all of you. In Jesus' name. And they said,
amen.
Be released. Have a fantastic day in the Lord.